Why don't we turn our Bibles to, you know, I'll be honest, I'm really struggling right now. I went to a retreat last night. I mean, I'm struggling in a good way. Everyone's kind of alarmed right now. I'm not struggling with sin or anything like that. Thank God. I was at a retreat last night, and the youth group invited me. I think it was the first time ever, right? Pastor Nate invited me to speak to the youth group. And so I went and spoke, and we had such an amazing time. And just the Holy Spirit showed up in an amazing way. And I felt like I got the overflow of that this morning during worship. And I'm just so tempted to change my message right now. But I know I have to do this, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, God, and we love you. And Lord, we know that you want to speak to this congregation, Lord, your words and not my intentions, Lord, or my plan. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would minister to us, God, and that you would love us, Lord, through this. And so to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. And we thank you, Lord. We love you in this place, God. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Before I get going, I just want to introduce someone here. It's my dad is here, and so he's visiting. Apple, can you stand up? He's in the back. And so he hasn't been here in a few years, and so we finally coaxed him to come out in the beautiful Hong Kong. And then we'll be going to Singapore together as I'll be ministering. So if you want to know where all our family, all our kids, why they look like that, this is my dad. And so if you see him, he's just Andrew. They're like spitting images of each other, and so am I as well, and things. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2 is the story of the birth of Jesus. And if you follow along with me, we'll read from verse 6. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. So Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood suddenly before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about that when the angels had gone away with them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem, then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as he had been told. Amen. Amen. During this time, I usually do a message on fasting and stuff, and so I'm going to put that away for now, and we'll get to that next week. But I just kind of want to share a little bit. This is about Christmas, and give us a little idea. I very rarely, just personally, I very rarely talk about Christmas, and I was sitting back. I don't really know why, but I just don't want to be like those regular pastors that just, you know, like every December you preach on Christmas, every Easter you preach on, you know, the resurrection, which, I mean, that's really important. But, you know, like Christmas and then every Thanksgiving, you talk about Thanksgiving. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, as being a pastor for 20-some years, I've given every conceivable Christmas message that you can imagine. You know, Christmas in the, you know, in the eyes of the wise men, in the eyes of the women, in the eyes of the baby, in the eyes of the shepherds. And the, I mean, you know, you just think about every conceivable angle on the Christmas story. At some point, I preached on it. And so even though you may not have heard all of them, you know, for a while, it gets a little boring. And I just say that as a speaker, as a preacher. And, you know, and when you preach, you want to preach exciting things. And I'm reminded this morning how exciting this story really is. And maybe this year it hits home maybe a little bit more than usual. You know, in that this year, you know, we had a boy come into our home. And I was, you know, as we were worshiping and just letting, you know, just talking to God and just allowing the Holy Spirit to really speak into my heart and dig in. And I kind of took the pose of Joseph for a bit, you know, and Mary, and just thinking about the joy of having their children, the joy of Jesus coming in, but yet at the same time, the piercing to know that this child would die for the sins of the world. And then I was meditating on that, and I was thinking about my little son, Andrew, who today is 5 months old. And, you know, I was thinking about, wow, here's this precious, beautiful baby. Could I, no matter how much I loved people, could I sacrifice my own son for other people? You know, and the answer was an emphatic no. I would even say, as a father, it would be much easier for me to sacrifice myself. That would be the better thing to do in essence. And I was just looking at it and just kind of through the eyes of the Father, it would be much easier, much doable for me to sacrifice myself. But God, in his infinite wisdom, in his infinite love, chose to sacrifice his only son. You know, we are all very familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's the amazing story of Christmas. And I know a lot of times we get lost in the commercialization. And, you know, a lot of times, I'll be honest, as a citizen here in Hong Kong, and I'm a permanent resident, I have been for a while, got there just in time, I got my $4,000 or $6,000 check, you know, way back. That was one of the best things that ever happened during that time. And my wife and I waited for later on, so we got $300 more. And so we're like, I consider ourselves true Hong Kongers. That's a true Hong Kong thing to do, right? Get as much money as you can. Any case, let me not divert from the message here. And so as citizens of Hong Kong, and I walk around this city, and I see the trees, and, you know, I see all the lights and the glitter and, you know, season's greetings and all this stuff. And I'm happy that, you know, Christ is being proclaimed in a way. But there's also a sadness in my heart recognizing that people don't really understand what this day really is about. You guys know that I had a surgery on my shoulder. And so I've been going to physio, and this week my regular physical therapist is on holiday. You know, she's back home in Australia. And so I had a new physio for this week. And then next week I'll have a different physio because she's going to go to her holiday in the UK as well. And so they're actually passing me off here and there. And so I got to share the Christmas story with my physio as she was pulverizing my shoulder and making me weep almost. And I got to, you know, and it kind of brought back home what this day really means. And trust me, I'm stressed out just like you guys are. I'm trying to find presents for our kids. I'm trying to find affordable presents and, you know, things that are quite meaningful and things that they'll like and trying to plan all that stuff out. And, And so, I mean, I understand the stress of this season in a way. And so I'm personally drawn back to what this story really means. And so, you know, even while during worship and I was praying, I just had two simple points, and I just want to share with us this morning about the season of Christmas. And hopefully God will really speak to you. And then we're going to spend some time in praying for one another and asking the Lord to minister to us during this time. Two simple points. Number one, the birth of Christ into this world, number one, showed that God is love. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, right? God is love. We forget a lot of times in our faith, and we forget a lot. There's so many things going on. There's so many things to pray for. There's so many things to seek God for. I mean, we are so pressed. There are so many do's and don'ts, which are good for us. They protect us. The commandments are very healthy for us. And so I'm not going to be part of that school that just tosses all that to the side and say, well, that's old covenant, and now we got to step into the new covenant. No, it's very good. And in fact, it's so good that, as I told you guys last week, I'm gonna spend a good chunk of the beginning of this year actually talking about the Ten Commandments. By the way, our theme next year is the Word and Power. And so we're going to talk about the Word and the Spirit. And we're going to spend a lot of time digging deep into God's Word. And also quite a bit of time, and hopefully not two separate things, but really those things coming together and talking about the Spirit and the work of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, Word and Power. And so for a chunk of time, we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments and how the commandments are good for us. They help us, they train us, they give us parameters and really walls in a way. Just imagine a flowing river, and the commandments, the Word of God gives us these banks of the river that allows the river of God, the flow of the Spirit, to flow even stronger, even faster, even farther. And so we need those commands. We need those don'ts in our life, you know, and we need those do's as well. And so, but a lot of times our faith gets so clouded in our thinking with do's and don'ts and regulations, you know, don't do this, don't do that, come to EMP, go to house church, sign up for GIC, make sure you do EG, and then, you know, sign up for SPLI and so on and so forth. And I know that a lot of times, all those things are very good for us. And so I'm not discarding or discounting any of that, because it's very good. You know, go to the retreat, all this kind of things. And sometimes, in the midst of all those requirements or things that we should be doing to be a good Christian and whatnot, it kind of all that stuff gets lost. And not all that gets lost, but this central message that God is love gets lost. That He loves us so deeply. He loves us so intimately, you know, beyond we can ever imagine. That's how much He loves us. And one of the things that we talked about in this last 4 weeks or so about the prophetic and about hearing God's voice is, for a lot of times, that's precisely where the realization of His care and His love, and His love that's not just blind, but that's love that's filled with such knowledge, comes into our lives. I remember years ago, and I'm kind of referencing back to the youth group, because last night, trust me, I very rarely get afraid to speak. You know, and I've spoken in huge crowds. I mean, a thousand, but you know, I very rarely get nervous. You know, the only time I get nervous when I'm preaching, you know, when that happens, is when I'm speaking to young kids, when I'm speaking to high school kids and junior high kids, and because I just feel this need to be cool, you know, and I'm not very cool, and so, you know, I'm kind of very corny and whatnot, and so, like, even yesterday, I was giving this illustration. I was talking about the Dream Team. Remember 1992, NBA, you know, Barcelona Olympics, and I realized that none of these kids were even born. They weren't even alive in 1992. And so there goes my whole illustration out the door. And so I was so nervous, but it brought back all these memories. You know, I was a youth pastor for roughly about 3 or 4 years. And so the moment, I'll tell you, the moment that my students, you know, I inherited a youth group of about, I think about 15, 16 kids. And, you know, through the grace of God, it just grew and grew and grew. And we had our first retreat. You got to understand, I never grew up in church. And so I was never part of Sunday school. I was never part of a youth group. And I became a Christian in university. My parents started going to church when I was in high school. And so, you know, church and youth group, all was very new to me and things. And even though they started going to church in high school, I didn't go. And so, you know, my faith grew much, it was much later on, particularly my university years. And so the church told me that I had to go on a retreat. So I was like, what's a retreat? And so they said, well, you got to take your kids on a camp or somewhere, and so you can spend a lot of time focusing on God. And so I grew up as a Boy Scout, and so I never went to retreat centers, so I thought, oh, I'll just take them camping with me. And so that's what we did. I just took them camping. And so we got tents, and we went to Sequoia, or actually Kings Canyon National Park, right under Yosemite. And we went there, and the whole retreat, I was teaching on hearing God's voice. And this is precisely what happened. I had all these kids that grew up very religious. Their parents were elders and deacons, long-serving, very faithful family members. And the kids came to church because their parents came to church. And they came and tried to be good and do the things because their parents told them to. But they never really owned it for themselves. And the reality was a lot of them really didn't know if God really existed. And if they believed that God existed, in other words, they were agnostic, they didn't really believe that God really loved them. And God loves everybody, but they didn't really believe that God loved them personally. And so I began to teach on hearing God's voice and just a few lessons. And then we had a great time and we started practicing it. And we just said simply, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to just get in groups of three. And so I want you to especially find someone that you don't know very well at all. And so I want you to go find that person, and then when you get in your group of three, I want you to pick one person, and I want two of you to pray for that person and get a word from the Lord. I actually really hear from God for that person, and then I want you to just keep going around in a circle until you two have prayed for everybody, and so on and so forth in that group of three. You know what happened? God, because he loved these kids so much, he peered through, he came into our world, he came into their existence, and began to speak through one another, secrets of their heart, even prayers that they had prayed that week. And after a couple sessions like that, the most common phrase heard for the next 2 days of the camp is privately, kids would go to one another and say, hey, how did you know that? Like, did someone tell you? Like, did my dad tell you what's going on? How did you know that this is exactly the situation in my life? And that's precisely what happened. And students begin to become awakened in their heart, and they begin to recognize, oh my gosh, God is real. He's real. And you wouldn't believe the light bulbs that went off. I mean, these kids, you know, being Korean kids, In an affluent, upper middle class upbringing, a very studious, great school system, studying really hard, and they're bombarded in their school every single day that God's not real. They're bombarded in their biology and their science classes, you know, continually reminding them at the ridiculousness of faith. And so they're having that weighed in upon them so heavily, and they come to this retreat, and God peers through. He exposes himself to these kids, and they recognize, my goodness, God is real. And not only is he real, but he loves me, and he knows me. No one could ever have come up with something like that. God knows exactly what I'm thinking. He's real. And they begin to receive the love of God. And so then we go to our evening service, and I mean it was amazing. We go to our evening service, and we just pray. I just prayed the most simplest prayer. I said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And I'd heard about the movement at the Vineyard in Anaheim, California, you know, where a pastor, or actually a Jesus movement disciple, a drug addict, a homosexual that was a part of the Jesus movement, a hippie basically, got radically saved, started preaching on the beaches of Huntington Beach, California, came to the Vineyard when the church was a friend's church. In other words, it was a part of the Brethren movement, and came and said those very same words, "Come, Holy Spirit." And it changed that church and changed that whole movement, you know, who's planted thousands of churches around the world. And so I remember that story. And so when I got to this retreat that evening, I just simply, now that the kids had experienced the love of God, they recognized that God was real, just simply prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit." And God showed up in such an amazing, miraculous way. And you know, this is the love of God that's poured out into our hearts. God sent his little son, Jesus, into this world because he loves you. There's no other explanation for that. There is no other reason for this type of sacrifice. Simply the fact that he loves you, that he cares so deeply about us. He recognized, and listen, friends, before you met Christ, your greatest need was not a new job. Your greatest need was not to get married. Your greatest need was not to have more money in your bank account. You know, all those things would be helpful. But before you met Christ, your greatest need was the forgiveness of your sins. And until you come to that conclusion in your life, you will never need a Savior. You know, as John Stott, you know, the great British theologian, that began to really begin to utter those same words, until you find a need for a Savior, until you recognize that need in your life, you'll never turn to one. And so the greatest need that you had was the forgiveness of your sins. And so God, recognizing that in our lives, he sent his Son to us. But Romans tells us, he says, even while we're yet sinners, still Christ died for us. And so, see, God didn't wait for us to be perfect, to be whole, to be cleansed. Even in the midst of our dirtiness, you know, even the scripture tells Isaiah that our works are like filthy rags. And even in the midst of all that, God sent his Son to die for our sins, to pay the price that we should have paid. Right? The Christmas story reveals God's love for you. And I think today God's going to really make himself known to you in a very special way that's really going to go beyond your ability or your capacity to grasp and understand that. God loves you no matter what you've done, and no matter what you're going to do. And when I say this so many times, I think some people have a very difficult time understanding in so many ways. God loves you so much. And God's love for you is never going to change. He says very simply, he doesn't change. His love for you is going to be so full that even if you're sitting in the service today, you walk out of that service, you know, you're mad at me or something I said, or you're mad at God, something didn't quite work out. You walk out of the service, you never open up your Bible ever again. You never pray another prayer ever again. And you even go on the rest of your life hating God, cursing God, and all those things. Listen, brothers and sisters, God's love for you, or the level or the intensity, the capacity of God's love for you will never change. Because God loves you not based on your efforts, not based on what you've done. God loves you based on the cross, because of what God, because of what Jesus has done for you. Amen? Number two, and this is really, I think, what makes the Christmas story even more beautiful, I mean, especially to me, that really speaks to me the most, is that the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, reveals God's humility. Turn to your other neighbor, say, "Hey, good looking," reveals God's humility. You know, in all honesty, this is probably what drew me to Christianity more than anything else. You know, for me, before I became a Christian, I was lost. I mean, I was really lost. I had no purpose in my life. And I didn't, for me, like my personality is such, I didn't really give myself to different devices. You know, some of you guys know, you know, I've never been drunk my whole life. You know, really, I'm in my mid-40s, never been drunk my whole life. You know, I could probably count, you know, in very small container the amount of alcohol that I've drunk in my whole life. And it's not because I'm a good person, I just didn't like it. Right? It just tastes like piss. And so, you know, excuse my language, can I say that? And so I just, you know, not that I know what pee-pee tastes like. I know that sounded really weird. But if I did taste pee, that was it, I figured that's what it would taste like. So I just never really, you know, really enjoyed that. I didn't smoke. I mean, I've had like two puffs of a cigarette my whole life. Didn't do drugs, and so on the outside, it seemed like I was a pretty good kid in that regard. I mean, I had some other issues, you know, namely I got in a lot of fights, you know, and things like that. But you know, I always figured they deserved it, so I was in some way enacting God's justice, which is not, it's totally not true. But you know, and through all that, but you know what, I was lacking purpose. I mean, I was really lacking purpose, and I was lost. I just didn't have my footing. I had a lot of passion, but nowhere to direct it. Anyone feel like that? I mean, I had so much passion, but nowhere to direct it. And because of that, I was dying inside. And so I wasn't really looking for a God of power. That's not what I wanted. I wasn't really looking for a God of peace. You know, I mean, I could very well, if for me, honestly, if you just give me a basketball, give me a gym, I'm as peaceful as can be. I mean, that's what heaven is like for me, you know, and just alone in the gym, just playing. And so it wasn't that. I mean, I could do other things, get my endorphins and my adrenaline pumping and whatnot, you know, but it was this idea of the humility of God, that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet he comes and he presents to himself to us in the most humblest of manners. Surely the King of all kings would be born in a mansion. Surely the King of all kings deserves a palace, deserves a grand entrance. You know, and every time, listen, I have nothing against the royal family, okay? And so I'm going to make a few comments now, but I have nothing against the royal family. I'm talking about in England, Prince Charles and his sons, I don't even know their names. You know, I'm a dumb American, and so forgive me. But I remember all the pomp and circumstance that the little boy, what's the kid's name? Is it George? Right? So this little kid, baby George, comes in, you know, and he's wearing all those women's clothing. You know, I don't know why they do that. But they come into this world. Sorry, I think I offended all the Brits in here. And it's such pomp and circumstance, you know, and all this, I mean, like all those frills and things that this baby wears all the time. And so, you know, in the midst of all that stuff, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one on whom shoulders the government will stand upon, and he comes to us in a barn. You know, I know we have in the English word, we use the word manger. You know, my kids call it manger. And things, and so, but we have this word manger, and like, what is this word? You know, the literal definition is a feeding trough. That's exactly what it is. This is the. I mean, they literally had nothing, and so when Mary and Joseph went, they had no place, no hotel rooms available for them, and so all that was left was a stinky barn, and in this barn, no place to lay the baby Jesus, and so what? What did they have? They emptied out a feeding trough and they threw the baby Jesus in there. It's crazy. There wasn't dignitaries and ambassadors and kings and all these things that came to welcome this Jesus like baby George had. It was a bunch of dirty, smelly, right, Israelite shepherds. And then a bunch of crazy old men called wise men, eccentric. I mean, if you saw these guys, you'd be like, this is crazy. It's like your crazy uncles, and three of them shows up. And they come and they worship this baby. It's the humility of God. God shows himself to us in such a way, and it reminds us that we can never be too low for God. We can never be too far away from him. We can never be too dirty for the Lord. You know, he is born in this barn. And we have this box, and I think my wife made it, and she cut out a picture of the manger scene. And so there's a star, and there's Joseph, and there's a baby, and there are wise men. And so we have this box, and we bring it out every Christmas. And now it's actually on the piano in the living room. And whenever I see a manger picture, it's so cute, isn't it? It's so pretty, this beautiful Jesus. You know, I wish, and maybe one of you guys can invent it, I wish to get the realism of the scene, I wish it would be accompanied with smells. I think that would really bring this picture home, that you can smell the animals, you can smell the dung, you can smell the rotting food, you know, and just the smell of hay. And that's where Jesus came into this world. Think about this. He came into this world in the refuse of a manger, and he left this world next to the refuse of humanity. He comes into this world in the most humblest way possible, in a horse's trough, in a feeding trough, and he exits this world in one of the most horrible ways that a human being can exit, hanging, dying naked, bleeding, bruised, and battered on the cross. Brothers and sisters, this is the humility of God. God's heart and desire to enter in into our refuse, enter in into our junk, to enter in into our garbage, the filthiness of our sins. And he came to take it all away from us. It's his humility. It's his love. And this Christmas season, brothers and sisters, that's what it's about. Right? Gifts are part of that. Yeah, I mean, celebrate. By all means, please don't stop buying presents. You know, I'm a size large, you know, so if you have any hints. You know, by all means, don't stop buying gifts and all these things, especially for your kids and your family and your loved ones. You know, don't stop celebrating. Enjoy the lights and enjoy the trees and enjoy the festivities and the food and all these things. By all means, enjoy all this stuff. But in our heart of hearts, don't forget what this season really means. It's about Jesus. It's about God that so loved us that he had one son. One. And he said, son, you go and you pay the penalty for the sins of this world. And the son willfully and gladly went. And he came into the most humblest manner, and he left this world in the most humblest manner. Brothers and sisters, that is our God. Don't get confused by the do's and don'ts and the regulations and what it means to be a good Christian and, you know, what am I going to fast this year? And all those things are good, but don't let that sidetrack you. And I love what the writer in 2 Corinthians 11:3 says. Don't be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And in this Christmas season, let the Holy Spirit begin to move in our hearts in such a way that we understand that this time is really all about Jesus. Amen? Let's close our eyes. For all the haters in Solomon's Pores that said that PSAM could never give a short message. Bam! Right here. But let's go back. Let's not lose focus. I hope the message is clear. The birth, the death, the resurrection of Christ reveals God's love for us. Let me just share my heart. This is my sense right now, okay, in this room. I feel like there's a lot of you here. Can you keep the lights up a little bit? I want to see the church. So you guys keep your eyes closed. But I want to see you right now. There's a lot of you here, and you know God loves you. Cognitively. You understand the scriptures in your head about God's love and His care for you. I believe that. It's there. But see, that doesn't really help you when the storms rage. I love John Wesley's quote. And he's talking about while he was on a ship going from Georgia back to the UK as he failed as a missionary. And the ship was going down and he thought he was going to die. And he went into the hull of the ship and he heard some singing. And there were a bunch of these Moravians that were there. These were basically a bunch of refugees from Germany under the leadership of a guy named Count Zinzendorf. And as they were there, and he asked the Moravians, how can you guys be praising and worshiping right now? We're about to die. And here's this distinguished missionary, scholar, an incredibly learned religious man. And his reply to the Moravians when they told him about faith and all these things, and this is what he says. He says, I have a fair weather faith. It does me no good in a storm. In that same way, brothers and sisters, some of you guys understand God's love in your head. It's good. It's good. But where you really need to know that is 12 inches down in your heart. Some of you are trying to live out these commands and trying to live out this faith and really, honestly, on your own strength. We forgot one of the most powerful biblical principles. 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about Christmas. It's about God's love for you. And today, some of you are going to experience this love. You know, the whole idea of knowing God biblically, it's unfortunate that we in the Western church, we have made Christianity, we have made the idea of knowing God an intellectual exercise. It's not. All through the scriptures, whenever that word knowledge or knowing is expressed, every single one of them, in the Hebrew, it's the word yada. In Greek, it's the word gnosis. And every single one has the same definition. It's a knowledge that's gained by experience. It's not just knowing commandments or facts and figures or ideas. Those things are important. When we're talking about really knowing God, and when I'm talking about really experiencing God's love or knowing the love of God, I'm talking about coming into an experience of that love. That's what changes us. You shall know the truth. In other words, you shall experience the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if you're free, you shall be free indeed. And so if you're honest with the Lord today, you know, PSAM, I'm a bit like that. I love God, and I understand that. And I know that God loves me, but really most of it is intellectual. P-Sam, I want to experience God's love in my heart. If that's where you're at, we really want to pray for you this morning. I believe that God's going to lead you on this journey of experiencing His love more and more. And so in a real simple way, just this is not for me, this is just for you. It's your participation in the Lord. Can I just ask you to stand where you're at right now? As you stand, just close your eyes, open your hands, like you're going to receive something because you are. You know, in this place, just say, "P-Sam, I'd like to experience God's love, not just intellectually, but in my heart of hearts where it matters." Just go ahead, close your eyes, open your hands. And just receive. You know, we say this a lot of times here. Look, don't pray, okay? You know, when you're kissing someone, you don't talk. You just enjoy. And you let the Lord just kiss you today. So come, Holy Spirit. While your children are here, open hands, open hearts. Just touch them right now, Jesus. Just close your eyes. Focus on Him. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, let your liquid love pour down. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to recruit some people to walk with you and help you now. If you're around someone who's standing, you gently move over and just lay hands and just minister to your friend there. And watch what God does through you. John's going to lead us in a song, the worship team. Let the Lord use you to release God's love. And all you got to do is when you go over, just pray, "Lord, just release the love of God." Release Jesus. Let's pray for our friends. Let's worship the Lord.
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Came down and rescued me. Love came down and
Let's continue to minister to our friends. The Lord is just starting this work. Let me just take you deeper and deeper. The rest of us, why don't we rise to our feet? And let's sing this together as we close our service.
When my heart is filled with hope, every promise comes my way. When I feel your hand of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humble at your feet. I will lift hands in praise. I will believe. I remind myself. I remind myself of all that you've done. I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. I'll deny your valley low. I sing, I remind my soul. I am yours.
I haven't done this in a while, but can you grab someone's hand? Let's go across the aisles, just connect with somebody. And we're going to just continue to let this process of God's love continue to move in your heart. Some of you guys are being very touched right now, and it's going to continue to happen even as you go home. Can I invite you to pray for the person on the left and right of you? Ask God to fill them with His love. They want to get a glimpse of His humility. They would understand this season, God's greatest demonstration of His love for us was sending us His Son, born in a manger. And let's just spend a moment, let's just pray for each other right now and say, God, release Your love, not just today, but throughout this time, God. Let's pray for one another right now. God. Jesus says in John that there's no greater love than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. He turns to us and says, you are my friends. Father, we thank you, God, for Christmas, Lord. God, we thank you for loving us so much, God, that you didn't even spare your own Son, but you gladly gave Him up for us. God, we're just blown away, God, by your generosity, by your grace, that you would love people like me, like us. So would you help us, God, during our holidays, help us during this time to just continue to experience the fullness of that love in our hearts. We thank you for the gift of Christ. And I pray that many of us will travel soon. We'll go back to our families, our loved ones, our relatives. We pray, God, especially for those that are not yet Christians, that you use, God, these ones in this room and ones that are already there to also, God, bring that gift of Christ into their lives. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you, Jesus. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And then the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.